All right.
Happy Saturday, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Depressed Breakfast Club. I'm just going to say another episode because I honestly do not know what number we're on. It's January 27th, 2024. There, going forward, we're going to date it.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah. So we're in a new year. We're a month into the new year. And today we're going to be talking about underappreciated men. And Taylor's going to talk a little bit more about that because I had to ask for references. Anywho, what we talk about is all advice or just words. Don't listen to us, really. Don't, like, you can take our advice, but don't go out into the world and say, well, they told me to do it. We're not medical professionals. If you feel like you have some issues that you need to work on, discuss, or you're having a really, really rough time coping with things, Peanut's going to give you some phone numbers. Peanut?
Okay, so if you're feeling suicidal or you need somebody to talk to, you can call the suicide hotline in Canada at 1-833-456-4566, or you can text 45645. And in the U.S., you can call 988 or text TALK to 741-741. So if you're feeling suicidal, you know somebody that might be suicidal, or you need somebody to talk to, please reach out to someone, and these numbers will help you. On to Taylor.
Good morning, everyone. As always, the general reminder that our email address is depressedbreakfastclub@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Facebook under the same name. For today's quote, it's going to be, "It's okay for men to go to therapy, speak about their mental illnesses, cry their heart out, feel anxious and overwhelmed, have body issues, have trauma, have bad days sometimes, ask for help when things seem dark, to openly express their emotions, and to feel vulnerable." So the reason that we're going to be talking about this today is because this past week, there was a, I'm going to call it like a little incident, at my house where I had decided to stay home from work one of the days due to inclement weather and my mental health being more important than trying to drive through the ice and the fog. So I stayed home and was surprised to hear a ding dong at the door. And my mom went and looked and turned around and went, "It's the OPP," which, for those who don't live in Ontario, that is Ontario Provincial Police. That is harder to say than I remember it being. So they were here. They ended up sitting out in their car for 30, 35 minutes. Well, we just stood with the door open, gawking out at them like, "Are you coming in to talk to us? Are you here for the people in the basement?" Because what my mom and I live in is essentially like a duplex. We rent the upstairs, they rent the downstairs. We're all happy. We had noticed that there had been some changes down in the basement people's lifestyles. I don't know what else to call them. They're the basement dwellers. Where the man had, we've lived here for 4 years. The entire time, they looked like the perfect picturesque family that you wanted to have. Good looking husband, a good looking wife, and a gorgeous little daughter who they seemed to spend, like, the mom stayed at home, raised the kid, seemed to do educational stuff with her. Dad worked from home for the first few years because of COVID. They literally would go out into the back yard area, and there's some orchards back there, and they would have picnics a couple times a week. So it looked like a happy little family. Little did we know that there were other things going on. And a few months back, we started hearing the dad losing his shit, just screaming and yelling. And that wasn't something we had ever heard in the 4 years of living here. So it startled the crap out of us. It was one of those yells that spikes anxiety instantly for those of us that have it. Mm. So it was an instant. He yelled and it was so loud that it was through thick insulated flooring all the way up here to us. Startled my mom, startled me. She came out from her client when she had a moment to take a break. And she was like, what the fuck was that? And I was like, it was the basement people. And she looked at me and went, I've never heard him yell before. I'm like, outside of his sneezing, like he has those man sneezes that shake the entire house. That's the only thing that we've ever heard him in the entire 4 years of being here. It would just be like once a week that loud, and you'd see the fucking window panes rattle. Outside that, you never hear anything. But then all of a sudden we started hearing the yelling. We were like, what the hell? And then we noticed that we hadn't seen the wife in a while. And we tried talking to him at Christmas time when he brought up some baked goods for us. And it was the first time that we got to really look at him. And he's lost a lot of weight. He's got dark bags under his eyes, really pale. Like he looks run down and tired and just worn out. So then we were like, okay, maybe she's sick and like he's going to go visit her every night because he's starting to keep really weird hours. And when we brought it up to him, he was like, oh, no, not in front of the little one. It's like, OK, my mom went down to bring him some baked goods in return. And he was like, oh, yeah, we're doing great. I'm fine. Everything's great. Don't worry. We've been without her since whatever September timeline. It's fine. I'm great. Everything's great. Everything's good. I'm like, oh, OK. Yeah, that sounds convincing when you say it's great. It's good. It's fine. The more you say it, the more it's believable, right? So he did that. Then things seemed to kind of peter out during the holidays. Like you could tell the holiday stress was getting to him even more. And then about a week ago, he lost it again, but he was even louder. So I distinctly heard him say, that's it. We're done. I'm not doing this anymore. And I turned to my mom and I went, well, that's a weird thing to say to your daughter. Like, you can't just choose to not be your father anymore. I'm like, that's it. We're done.
Some can.
I was going to say, some can. In this case, it seemed a little random and sudden and weird. I was like, oh, well, that's not nice. Alrighty then. Then this week happened. So then, of course, my mom and I, with our vivid imagination, start making up our own storyline of what was happening when the cop showed up. And instantly, as I talked about this with the girls before to give them a heads up about it, Dana went to the same place I did. As a little side note to this story, for those who don't live here, many years ago, when I was but a wee one, there was an article in the newspaper. My papa and my mama would share the newspaper. Papa would get it first because they split the cost, and it wasn't even expensive back then, but they would split the cost. So he'd get it first thing in the morning because he was up at fucking 4 a.m. to go meet his old people friends at McDonald's. He'd grab the newspaper, bring it home. He'd read it. Then he'd put it together and go, Hunter Magoo, it's your turn. Here you go. Have the paper. My mom would send me down. I'd grab it for her, bring it up and go, okay, here you go. She'd read it. And then we went out for dinner that night. And I don't know if you two remember this article or not, but there was a nice little story in the newspaper about how a fella got mad at his wife many moons before that and killed her and shoved her in the deep freezer.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And then padlocked it all to hell.
Yeah.
So the kids were never allowed to go into it because he did it when his kids were kids.
Yeah, I never heard this story.
So the kids were, I think, I'm trying to remember the details of the article, but this was a long time ago that I read it. I think the kids were like, we'll say 6 and 8 at the time when their mother, quote unquote, disappeared.
Was this in Lazar?
Yeah.
Is this like where I'm here?
Yeah. So the mother, quote unquote, disappeared. because the father told the kids, your mom's left, she's not coming back, she couldn't handle it anymore, but you guys are staying with me, it's okay, we'll get through this. Kept up the charade for, I think, like damn near 2 decades. Because for the entire time, the kids were never allowed to touch the freezer. He was like, if you need something from it, let me know, I'll go get it. And he locked it so that they couldn't get in. Well, one day, one of the kids decided, you know what, I'm going to go down, I'll grab something out of the freezer, and I'll make dinner for all of us. I'll surprise Dad. Well, they surprised Dad, all right. Went down into it, and it was something like, I think he forgot to lock it. So they're like, oh, sweet, I can get into it. Open it up, and, ooh, Mom!
Gave whole new meaning to rump roast. I'm sorry.
I'm just thinking there's several serial killers who are like, rump roast. I'll tell you a perfect way to braise that.
Lady fingers.
The whole new literal meaning. So the kids ended up calling the cops, reporting them. Obviously, they were traumatized as like adults by that point, where it's like, okay, we went our entire lives, we thought our mom just abandoned us and fucked on off to have a new life over in Europe with some new lover.
Jesus, eh?
Nope, mom was in the house the entire time. But after that, it became a thing in my household of any time that my papa got out of line, my mom would turn around, listen, old man, you keep this up, I'm shoving you out in the freezer. I just saw one on sale in the newspaper today, and it looks like it'll fit you. It's fine. So therefore, the moment that the cop finally pulled away, we turned to each other and started making up our own little stories. I'm like, all right, if he gets home tonight and we tell him that the cops were here and he runs into the house and grabs a go bag, then we'll know that he did it. And he's on the lam. She's like, we should check and see if there's a freezer. Maybe that's where she is. So we ended up talking to him. She's not in the freezer, so no one needs to worry.
Well, instead.
I mean, it's good in some spots, I suppose. So instead, we ended up talking to him that night. And it's turned out that the mother has fucked off. This is now the third time. And their little one is only 6 years old. She has now fucked off out of their life 3 times. The little one wants nothing to do with her. Doesn't like her. And he's been doing all of this all by himself since September. And not only has he been being the single dad the entire time, but he's also had to worry about whether or not she's going to show up.
Yeah.
And that was exactly the issue. That's what brought everything to a head this week, was that she contacted him and said, hey, I'm back in the area. I've got a new house. I want my car back and I want time with my kid. And he said, you can have your car, but you're not having the kid. She wants nothing to do with you. I'm not letting you have any effect on her, all that kind of stuff. And went the extra step, he talked to Child Services and also talked to the OPP, which then explained why the OPP were here, because he was getting their advice on what he should do and how he should handle things.
Mm-hmm.
So then it all made sense. It was like, oh, okay. So in talking to him, he actually opened up about everything, where he finally said, yeah, you know, I'm really tired. I'm exhausted. I'm worn out. I'm scared that something's going to happen and I don't want to lose my kid. I love her. And he actually went out and found a support group for single dads that are going through similar things, because he was talking about it and he was happy and surprised when he told my mom and I about it. Because we said, oh, yeah, don't worry, we've got you. If your ex shows up on the property, do you want us to call the cops or do you want us to call you? And he looked genuinely surprised, where he's like, you would do that? It's like, oh, yeah, if you need anything at all, we have got your back. Don't worry. We understand better than most about the psychotic mom like that. And my mom shared part of her story with him, where she went through the same thing. Her mom fucking doll of the women on that side of the family, are clinically insane. They have been in and out of mental health insane asylums throughout their entire life. Horrible, horrible mothers. And yet the court systems continuously said, oh, well, better to be with the mom than with the dad. So that is his biggest fear, is that he's like, okay, well, everything's going to go against me. They're going to say, oh, well, she should just be with the mom because the mom's the better choice.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you know what? In today's age now, thankfully, it's no longer like 100%. Like, it had to be an extreme, extreme case back in the day for the mother to not have the children. Like, if the mom didn't have the children, she was the worst mother on the planet because they gave you back no matter what. Whereas now more and more dads are actually getting it. It's getting closer to a 50-50 split. Still not exactly that. It's still more favoritized towards the women, but we're getting better. So he was surprised when so many people have actually been on his side saying, no, you're the right choice for the kid. You're the one where she should be. That's where the court system's going to put her if it comes to that. So he was genuinely surprised by that, to hear coming from more women. Even he turned to me and went, I'm shocked that, he's like, please don't take this the wrong way, but he's like, but I'm shocked that so many women are on my side for this. And we looked at him and was like, it's nothing about whether you're a man or a woman. It's about what's best for the child. And it should have always been about what's best for the child. And what's best for the child is that she stay with you. You care for her. You take care of her. You're protecting her as best you can right now. Her mother has dropped out of her life 3 times. And for my mother, who's been going through some things, it was a sign from the universe where, nope, we're not going to have anything to do with her own mother. As she was reminded, this is what it felt like. And my mom went into instant protective mode where she's like, I will fucking tell that woman off. She's like, you don't do that to a child. I went, oh, are we having flashbacks to our own childhood and no one's sticking up for you? And she looked at me and went, shut up. Yes.
Well, it's good that he got to a point where he was comfortable enough to have that conversation with you and your mom, mm-hmm. and to know that, you know, he has support, because men don't get support. We know that.
Well, it just goes to show how difficult it is in the world for men. Like, we'd always talk about how it's a man's world. In a lot of ways, yes, I fully agree. Like, men definitely dominate so many different areas of the world. However, there's areas that really need to be worked on. Like, I think in order for the world to become a better place and more inclusive and well-rounded, we have to actually start, like, we have to start in the area of reassuring men that it's like, okay, it's okay to have all of these feelings. It's okay to be traumatized. It's okay to be scared. We're all human. You're not meant to be, like, even though according to society, men are supposed to be strong and tough and they're not allowed to cry, they're not allowed to have emotions. Like, no, because we've made men feel that way, they don't know how to express things a lot of the time. They don't go out and seek help. They'd rather just spiral out of control because that's what society's done to them. And I don't think that's fair. And it shouldn't be that hard on men to go find support groups. But, like, even he said, he's like, yeah, I had to look around a lot before I actually found it. He's like, and I found one support group for single dads. Fucking one.
Jesus.
I can guarantee you that if I looked around here, there'd probably be 5 or more support groups that are meant for women and whatever scenarios we're in. The odds are not stacked in their favor for that.
Yeah. So kind of. So. You want men to be open. Uh-huh. And talk about their issues, their feelings, things that aren't going right for them. But society doesn't give them that opportunity. like you said, Essex County isn't small.
No.
So to find one support group for men, for single fathers, out of all our little boroughs, if you will, that's bullshit. Like, in Windsor alone, there should be this many, you know, like a handful. Never mind one for all of Essex County. In comparison, does anybody know where the country of Luxembourg is? Nestled there in Europe between France and Germany. So like you can literally drive through it in half an hour. The country of Luxembourg will fit into Essex County.
Oh, God, yeah.
Square footage wise. So could you imagine a whole country that has one support group for men?
Right?
So, yeah, wow.
It's one of those things, it's just, I want to say, like, it's such a shame, and also at the same time, one of those things where I'm just disappointed in society that it's, we have toxic masculinity, but yes. Then at the same time, you look at what's created it, and it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. We don't give men the support to be emotional. We don't give them the support to have traumatic things happen to them. Like, there's always jokes about altar boys and all that going on. I'm trying to think of that freaking movie. I can't think of it right now. I can see it in my head. Sleepers? I think it was Sleepers.
The four boys in the reform school?
Yes. Yes. And say, if I remember right, I think that's the movie I'm thinking of. Where one or two of them, if not all four of them, were quote-unquote altar boys and were touched by the priests and raped and all that. And they never talked about it. Instead, they just repressed it. One ended up, I think, accidentally overdosing and dying from drugs. Another one became an alcoholic. I think one did something good with his life. Another one was just like a deadbeat kind of thing. And it just showed how each one of them tried to handle the trauma from it. And it was different in each scenario where, okay, a lot of the times that's a trauma that you can't overcome. And I'm trying to think, there's another, I can't remember if it was a movie or a documentary that I was watching, one or the other, or could have been a movie based off of real life. Where it was an Irish person, an Irish guy, talking about how he had been touched by the Irish priest or whatever they're called over there. But because of how big the church is and how important it is, it's never talked about. You don't say anything against the church. You don't say anything against your priest, any of that. He was like, I was touched, but I couldn't talk about it at the time. I think, I want to say when I saw it, he was like a 50 or 60 year old guy by that point in time. He was like, I was touched for years. Several other boys were too, but you don't talk against father, whoever, because it's not allowed. And if you say anything, then you're the one who's done wrong because you said you slandered the priest. And it's like, how fucked up is that?
Yeah.
That there's no support for the victims. And then people wonder why the guys have to act all macho and like nothing's happened to them. And they have anger issues and they don't know what to do with any of it. Because we give them no healthy outlets to handle it. We have however many hundreds of groups for women. So women know how to express their emotions, discuss their emotions, because we're told we're the delicate ones. We're supposed to be able to handle this.
Right.
And we're supposed to cry and be soft and all those. Men aren't allowed to have tears. Men aren't allowed to. Boys don't cry. That kind of crap. And it's like, that stuff has made for a horribly toxic community for everyone. And that's that's the thing. It's everyone. It's toxic for everyone because we put men in one category and said, you're not allowed to be emotional. You have to be stones. That's it.
Yeah.
And then people are surprised when the stone falls over and crushes things and break things.
Well, on the stone falling and crushing, I just looked up some facts real quick. So for 2021, because they haven't released the other years, men died by suicide 3.9 times more often than women.
Wow.
On the average, there are 132 men suicides per day. White males accounted for 69.6% of the suicide deaths in 2021, and firearms accounted for 54.6% of those suicide deaths.
Wow.
So that just absolutely puts into perspective that men aren't getting the mental health support they need when they're in situations like your downstairs neighbor, where all the, basically, the shit's piling in and there's nobody there to help them shovel out of it. So, society needs to be very cognitive that men need outlets, men need support groups. They need to be able to sit in the basement of a community center in a circle and talk about their feelings, talk about their emotions, talk about shit that makes them anxious, they're depressed. I don't understand why it's such a taboo for men to have that conversation. Like, as a female and married, if my husband came to me and said, you know, I'm feeling depressed and I need to talk to somebody about it, I wouldn't be like, buck it up, buddy, you're a man, you know. But there are people that do that, and that's probably what has had the effect of the 3.9% higher average of men's suicide to women. Like, if four people committed suicide, three of them are men.
Right?
Like, think about that, society. Think about that.
That's such a huge, like, it's one of those things that it's hard to picture in your mind until you do simple math like that, where you're like, all right, of the four, three of them are men.
Yeah.
That is a huge percentage of men committing suicide to women.
On the single father thing, and I'm going to jump over to the U.S. for this, only because I have American friends and family. In my family, my family in Florida, my mom's brother and his wife had four boys. Of those four boys, three of them were single fathers.
Wow.
As in, their wives walked out on them, or their baby mamas, whatever. They raised their children. My one cousin, who raised his son literally from like maybe 5 months old. And again, when my cousin Justin was born, he weighed less than a pound. He was told he was, well, his parents were told he was not going to survive. He did. He's married with two kids of his own, and he's an RN in the U.S. But, like, for his dad, after his wife walked out, his dad raised him from, like, infancy to the grown man he is. But he never had, other than his family, he never had a support system. when I was talking about that with my cousin, and we were talking about single fathers, got my wheels turning, my cogs were greased up and oiled, and I started researching. You'll love the statistic. 68% of single parents in the U.S. are male.
Really?
Male. And they lack support systems. A father, a single father that is struggling, cannot get what we would call welfare.
I was just going to ask about that.
Because he gets told, you're a man, go out and get a job. You can quote unquote do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because men are on that pedestal where they can build a house, they can cut down a tree, they can put up a power line, they can do anything. Men are great, you know?
Uh-huh.
But when that man is struggling, so like, you could have a father of three kids who's working a minimum wage job, and we all know minimum wage in the U.S. is nothing compared to what it is in Canada.
I would say, and it depends on which state you're in. Like, some of them, exactly. The minimum wage is like $7 an hour.
So could you imagine this man trying to feed and house and clothe three children on minimum wage, and when he goes for assistance in government offices, I'm not talking churches or community places that may have like a food bank or that. I'm talking government. If he goes to the government to say, hey, I can't make ends meet. My children are hungry. I need some assistance. You'll love this statistic again. 49% of the time, the state takes their children away from the father and puts them in foster care.
Jesus.
Tell me how that is helping his mental health. Because now he's sought help to make sure his children eat food and have a roof over their head. And the government's answer is to take his children away from him and probably separate them
uh-huh.
in foster care. And he's working, unless he can find, you know, four or five other jobs to help make ends meet, he's never going to see his kids again. What do you think his action is going to be having that done to him?
Suddenly the three out of four makes sense.
He's going to unlive himself. Or unalive himself.
I should say unlive?
Yeah, apparently, social media and, basically social media doesn't want people to use the word suicide. It's a trigger. No, not talking about it is a fucking trigger, social media.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, like, so on like TikTok, for instance, I'll be like scrolling through TikTok, I'll come across a video and it'll be like so-and-so unalive themselves, and I'm like, the fuck? I had to Google what that meant. Of course, I'm in my 50s, but still. And for me, I was like, what the fuck? Unalive themselves? No. Their mental health got the best of them, and they did the ultimate thing and committed suicide. Say the fucking word. That bothers me. Sorry. Off my soapbox.
It's just like instead of rape now, it's sexual assault.
Yeah. God, I hate to use this term, but Fuck off with the cancel culture and the snowflakes. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm there.
That's a whole different conversation, but yeah.
I say, no, I'm right there with you, because especially for things like that where, and I mean, the sexual assault versus rape thing, I don't think is, I haven't seen it be a thing yet, just because I want to say sexual assault is that they didn't actually rape you, whereas rape is.
Oh, you don't watch enough Dateline in that.
Yeah, it's true.
They use it. They use it all the time. Like, if you watch Law and Order and all those assault shows, they use sexual assault instead of rape.
Yeah, they don't use the word rape anymore.
Nope.
Wow.
Whereas we as women, the three of us know, sexual assault is unwanted touching.
Yep.
Unwanted advances, unwanted words. That's assault. Mm-hmm. That's sexual assault. Rape is forcible sexual intercourse against your will.
Yeah. That's not sexual assault. Because, like, when you're watching those shows, they'll say sexual assault, but then they'll be like, they did a rape kit. You gotta
do a rape kit. Yeah. So they were raped, not sexually assaulted.
Yeah, I was gonna say, so I just looked it up just because I was curious what a definition would be for it. So I put, is sexual assault the same as rape? So that way it could be what does the, I don't even know what, some RAIN org. So the first thing that came up is rape is a form of sexual assault, which I remember from my law classes, but not all sexual assault is rape. So it's one of those, I just had the word for it.
Double-edged
it's
gone now. Sword.
Yep, basically.
Conundrum?
Yeah, so this one is, the term rape is often used as a legal definition to specifically include sexual penetration without consent. So if there's any sort of penetration that happens, then it's definitely rape. It's not just sexual assault. So it's one of those things of, to me, certain words hold more power to them.
Right.
So if you come in and you say that you're a sexual assault victim, it's not going to have the same impact as it will if you come walking, like if Peanut came walking in, or when she did say, when she was talking about her her first boyfriend there, in that case, sexually assaulting, trying to rape her.
Right.
It's like, there's a difference. You say rape, and the person's right there on your heels going, I'll fucking punch him. It's like, everyone knows what that entails. Everyone knows it's bad. Saying the word suicide, it elicits a strong reaction because we know what it is. Right. Saying that you're trying to unalive yourself doesn't capture the attention. And that's obviously what social media is trying to avoid. It's like, no, it's not a trigger in a bad way. Some of these are triggers in a good way, where they snap you to attention, where if someone puts up a post and says, oh, you know, I'm thinking of unaliving myself later,
you're probably just going to scroll on.
Exactly.
If somebody says, I'm pondering suicide, you're going to stop and you're going to start a conversation.
Mm-hmm. You're going to stop immediately and go for it. Because, you know what? I can remember one of my friends, might have been last year, sent me a screenshot. And he was like, oh, apparently I'm in Facebook jail. What'd you do this time? And he was like, oddly enough, it's not something that I did recently. And I was like, well, what do you mean? And he sent me a screenshot of something from about a decade ago where it had said that he was either contemplating or thinking of committing suicide, something along those lines. And he had posted it, and a decade later, they nabbed him on it, threw him in Facebook jail, and said, that breaks rules. You're not allowed to say suicide.
The community standards.
And I know.
I was there too.
So you've been there a lot.
I have.
So it was one of those things that when he put that there, I'm like, I'm sorry. They threw you in Facebook jail because you said you were contemplating suicide. They didn't check on you, number one. So they didn't check on you 10 years ago when you said you were contemplating it. But they waited 10 years and said, oh, you can't say that word. You're going to jail. So they don't even check on you. They're just like, oh, you said suicide, to jail with you. It's like, oh, that's a good way to help the society. Oh, you're not allowed to use that trigger word. That's going to bring people to your post too much. You can't do it. Like, oh, okay, good way to tell people, go ahead, off yourself, it's fine. Like, what the fuck?
You know what I got sent? I got a 48-hour ban for. I posted a meme in 2015. And it was Jeffrey Dahmer sitting in a fast food restaurant with a hamburger in his hand, and it says, this doesn't taste like Five Guys to me.
I've seen that meme. I love it.
I got a 48-hour ban. Seriously? For posting that because it went against community standards. So, well, it was, and I got the ban last year. So it was like, what, 8-9 years after that I
posted it. Oh my God. They're like, oh, we're going to get you for something, and it's going to take a decade.
Oh, good Lord.
Wait, our fact checkers are behind. Give us a decade or two.
Fact checking one, Jeffrey Dahmer ate people.
It's a known fact. Yeah, but they're going to come forward and be like, he never ate at Five Guys. That's not a fact.
Oh, so yeah. Facebook jail. God love it. Probably going to end up there now from this podcast.
If any of them listen to it, we got to be real careful with this week's hashtags.
Listen, Mr. Zuckerberg.
You can't tell me what to say. Oh, you can tell me what to say, as it turns out. Never mind.
He probably owns shares in Five Guys.
Probably owns Five Guys.
I was just going to say, he owns half the world. It's fine.
I'm pretty sure he's in the top 10 world's richest people.
I think so.
Because Mr. Musk is up there, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Bill Gates. When you own, like, I won't even say a half of the world, but when you own, like, 5 to 10% of the world.
Half the world and a slice of the moon.
Yeah. Like, oh, here. You know what? I'll take shares out on owning Mars. We'll get there someday. I got a nice plot of land on the Northern Hemisphere.
Listen. I have a certificate downstairs that says I own an acre on Mars, so Mr. Musk. It'll cost you.
Where the hell did you get a certificate for an acre on Mars?
Okay, funny story. I think it was my 30th birthday, and Anne, who...
Of course, every freaking time. My
partner in crime. Anne bought me an acre of land on Mars for my birthday. And I still have it. It's desert. I'll dig it out and take a picture and show you guys. But yeah, it's comical.
I don't even know where to start on that. You know what I'm going to look for? I'm going to look for an acre on another planet. She'll never be able to go.
I mean, well, now I can walk around saying I own property.
That's true. You can. And when people ask, that's when you tell them, oh, I'm actually a Martian. And you can confidently say it.
My home planet is Mars.
They're just going to say they're wrong.
Like the movie Total Recall.
Yes.
Oh. My goodness. But yeah. So, trigger words that shouldn't be trigger words that should be expressed. And
yes.
And men being able to say what they need to say with confidence and not being scared. And support systems behind them. Like,
uh-huh.
I'm speaking all the to all the women that listen to us, like maybe five of you. If a man comes up to you and is not directly telling you he needs help, but you can read the hidden signs, don't dismiss them. And I think that's a lot of the problem is men's feelings get dismissed.
Yes.
Like, you know, you shoe fly, you're not allowed to feel that way. Like I remember when my grandma died. Yeah. It's like 1992-93.
When I was born.
Oh no, it wasn't that early. 1999 or 2000.
Okay.
It was my dad's mom. And they had her laid out at the funeral home in Essex. Family came and whatnot. And I can remember, like, my dad's brother, Ed, and his brother, Andy, and my dad and his sister, Irene. My uncle Rick had passed a few years previous. I can remember the four of them standing, like, at my grandmother's casket, and not a single one of them shed a tear. I'm like, that's your mom, right? And, like, afterwards, I remember saying to my dad, I'm like, why didn't you cry at grandma's funeral? And my father looked me in the eye and said, I was raised, men don't cry. Men don't show their emotions. I'm like, well, shit, Dad. You can cry. Let it out.
Yeah. Actually, like, do you know how bad that is?
So yeah, it's you know, a lot of times too, it's the way men are raised.
Uh-huh.
If they have domineering fathers or like, what's the phrase? You gotta
man up.
I'm a man. A man's man. You know.
Gotta sack up, man up. Be a
sack
man.
Sack up. What's sack up?
Sack up.
You literally sack up
your friends.
I was just gonna say, you literally, that's a phrase. Have you never heard of this phrase? It's so, sack up, because they have a ball sack. So sack up, be a man. It's why we can't sack up, because we don't have a sack.
Or do we?
Oh, ours is hidden. Like our balls are hidden.
Ours are internal. They're for safer keeping.
Another thing that, again, would kind of stop men from showing emotion or talking about their feelings, get your balls out of your wife's purse.
Oh my God, yes.
Throw some balls.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, who the fuck says that to a man?
Oh, my cousin said that to my ex-husband.
Oh, yeah?
Just before he left me. My cousin had run into him or something, said, he said, I see my cousin still got your balls in her purse.
Wow.
Did you have them in your purse?
Apparently not, because he cheated on me and left me and treated me like, did mental damage to me. So.
Yeah.
I don't think I had my husband's balls in my purse.
I don't think those were mine.
It's just such a derogatory phrase. And I don't think it should be used for any man regarding any situation. Like if a man is showing weakness to their wife.
Oh, especially in their showing and weakness to them.
And doing things that outsiders would say, grow some balls.
Mm-hmm.
That outsider shouldn't say that. They don't know the dynamics of what's going on within that man. You know, Jesus Christ, he can be Mount Vesuvius just waiting to pop off, and you don't even know it. And next thing you know, you've got the mall shooting.
Yes.
You know? All because, I gotta say that is, if I'm with my man, and we're in like a dangerous situation, and he fucking bolts and leaves me, I'm gonna tell him to grow some fucking balls.
To be fair, there's gonna be different situations where there's probably gonna be, I'm gonna say it, but it's not even that I'm gonna say it to a man. I'm gonna say it to a woman, where I have actually said this phrase to a woman before, where it's like, grow some ovaries, goddammit.
So being the person that I am. It's not that I've ever had to protect my husband, but when I was single and I hung out with two guys and we'd go to bars to watch the hockey games, shoot some pool and drink. Mm-hmm. And the one time we were at Last Harry's, and I'm going back some years, folks, and we were shooting pool, and this like total creep walks up to me, and he was like, hey. I'm like, hello. He's like a total dork, right? He's like, you look good in that dress. You know, wouldn't make it look better if it was on my bedroom floor.
No.
I'm looking at, like, I'm holding the pool cue in my hand, right? And I'm looking at him. And my friend Dean's, like, looking at me. And Dave's looking at Dean while he's watching me. And I looked at the guy, I'm like, you got about 4 seconds to back the fuck up before you no longer have nuts thanks to this pool cue. I said, I'm not wearing a dress. I'm in jeans and a t-shirt. So go fuck yourself, pal. Get the fuck away from me. Or my friend, Mr. Security Guard over there at the door, is going to come over and have a chat with you. I go, after you're laying on the ground clutching your nuts because I took them out for you. And Dean and Dave are like, mouth open, like looking at me. But that's how I was raised, right? I was raised to stick up for myself.
You're like, I got this, bitch.
Do bad things.
No, I'm with you, Dean. I'm, I too, plus I've just been on my own for so long, but I'm with you. I don't put up with people's shit either. I would, I'm totally like, get the fuck away from me before, you know?
Yeah. Now, mind you, I was in my early 20s at that time. Now I'm in my 50s. And if somebody came up to me and said that, I'd laugh in their face, be like, fucker, I'm fat. You don't want my dress on your bedroom floor.
You're like, listen, I know the truth. That ain't it.
or I'd be like, yeah, okay, whatever. You know, go home and tell your mama about it.
Mine's like, this ain't 20 anymore.
But yeah, I think women play a big role too in supporting men. Like, women have to be very, very cognitive, almost like sixth senses to pick up when a man is struggling, because they're not going to come right out and tell you.
You know what kind of reminded me? This is the, I don't know if it's a mix of the history reading nerd in me, where I thought of a good, because you said about the wives needing to support their husbands. And it's been a hot minute since I've read it, keep in mind. Excuse me. But Lady Macbeth, not a good support system for her husband.
No.
You should do better. You need to aim higher. What's wrong with you? That's the that right there is the epitome of don't be a wife like that. When we say support system, be a support system. Like, be there for each other. Don't encourage your husband to commit murder. Don't tell him that he's worthless and that he should aim higher just because you want more. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what made me think of that suddenly, but it just came to mind where it's like, yeah, talking about wives being supportive, like be there for your husbands. Cause some of the wives can be some of the worst support systems for husbands I have ever witnessed in my entire life.
And that is a great comparison, because within my circle of friends, my circle of married friends, and I don't mean just mine, I mean my husband's friends that are married, people that we know that are married, I know a few women that have, you know, basically said to their husbands, if you had a better job, we could have this.
Yeah.
Or if you get off your fat, lazy ass and go get a job, and then you can have it because now you have two incomes. But yeah.
And that's exactly it, where you kind of look at it and you're like, okay, you took it the wrong way. That's not called support.
That's called belittlement.
That's not helping the situation, just so you know. I know we weren't clear when we said support, so let's define this a little bit.
Yeah.
But that was exactly what I thought of, where I know, like you, I know so many women who have said, oh, well, if he would just work harder, if he worked overtime, if he got another job, and say it not only, like, I get it when you say it to your friend and you're just like, oh, you know, I just so wish that I could just stay at home and be a princess and he would just work harder. And you're joking when you say it. But then there's the difference between that and when you actually go up to your spouse and you can hear the tone difference and you can see in their body language and the words that they choose that they're serious. And they're like, yeah, you should work harder. And they're saying it to a man who actually works 7 days a week, 10 to 12 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see how it affects their spouse, because they're like, oh, you know, I guess I could have worked an extra day.
Well, look at the body language associated with that, right? Mm-hmm. On the man, he's going to have slumped shoulders.
Yes.
His posture is going to be off. Like you said, the bags under the eyes,
mm-hmm.
unkept hair, maybe a little unshaven,
mm-hmm.
and just generally not their peppy self.
Yes.
And yeah, you need to pick up on that. Women need to pick up on shit mm-hmm. like that. Instead of saying, go shave, you look like a bum.
Yes. God, you look so unkept. Is this what you want the friends to see you looking like? Like, that's another thing that drives me insane. When the wife comes in and looks at their significant other after they've just worked their asses off. And like, I know I've teased one of the guys at work when he's come into work, but I knew that he was stressed and I was trying to make him laugh. I'm like, what the fuck's going on with your face here? Like, you can see your razor hasn't been here in a while. The fuck? Looking a little homeless, bud? And he laughed and then I was like, no, seriously though, what, like, are you okay? And he's like, I'm just stressed out from all the work that we're doing. And he's like, I haven't had it in me to do it. So I was like, you can joke about it, but then maybe check in on that same person when you're like, if you know that the person's usually well-kept, shaven, quick with it, you might want to check on those friends. Like, even if they're just work friends or they're just an acquaintance and something looks off, it's literally the smallest things can make the difference. Like, even last night, I was cranky and grumpy all night at work. It just continuously got worse as the night went on, where I'm like, oh, yeah, I want to talk about you. It was all in my head. I did none of it. Everyone was unharmed by the end of the night. But by the end of the night, as we were going to the punch-out clocks, one of my friends gave me, like, this stupid little gift that she had. And it wasn't anything over the top. It wasn't expensive. It was nothing. It was just a cute little thing. I looked at her, oh, this is so cute. I love it so much. Thank you. And she's like, and it had like a little, it was like a little animal thingy. So I went and I booped it on the nose. And she's like, did you just boop it? I'm like, yes, I did. It makes me happy. I'm going to my car now. Leave me alone. I finally found a happy bubble. And it's literally just those small things like that that can truly make the difference in someone's life. Being nice. Like, being nice to your significant other to show them support, or to say, hey, honey, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't take that overtime shift. You're looking run down. You're looking tired. Stay home. Even, like, for my mom, I constantly, her and I had arguments during the holiday months leading up because she was overworking herself. She was doing like, I'm trying to remember, like it was a stupid amount of clients each week. And with her not being 100% since she got sick, her 100% changed to what her new 100% is, which is she gets tired easily. She still overdoes it. And she was looking tired and exhausted. And I told her, listen, I'm done with this. We're no longer arguing about it. If you do not start taking 1 to 2 days off a week, I don't care. She's like, oh, well, it's only one client. No, you will put them on a different day with others. If you do not, I am taking your phone because I have her password because she has me dictate for her all the time because I'm a much faster texter than she is by a lot. So she has
me check her. People alone.
Yeah, with your little hunt and peck with your individual fingers.
Pretty much. I don't know how my daughter does it with both thumbs.
I would say that's exactly what I do. I do that and I'm sending off multiple messages and she's still like tap, tap.
I'm the index finger. Texter.
Yep, that's exactly how she does it. Takes her fucking forever.
Thank you for joining me, Peanut.
By the time I finish my response, the person I'm talking to is already on to another topic.
That happens, yeah, all the time.
Yep. I was saying, so she has me do it. So I told her flat out, I'm like, if you book another client on one of your days off, making this very clear to you, I'm taking your phone, I'm texting your client, my apologies, turns out I don't have that day available, you can have this date, or this date. And she looked at me, she went, fine. Because she knew damn well that I was going to do it. She's like, you are not allowed to run yourself down. It's like, I will be supportive. Hey, you need to take a day off. Hey, you should take a day off. Hey, take a day off. I'm done. You're taking a day off.
Yeah.
You no longer get a vote in this scenario. And I just had to have that same talk with one of my mom's best friends, who's also our naturopath, because she ran into her at the store the one day and I looked at her and I full out said to her, I'm like, you look like shit. What the hell? And mama looked at me and went, what the fuck, kid? And I was like, are you looking at her right now? She looks like she's been run over. The bags could take her to Paris and back, not Paris, Ontario, Paris, France. And back. And she looked at me and gave her a hug. She texted me later and she's like, so I'm looking kind of rough, huh? I'm like, yeah, you know I love you, but you also know I'm going to be the one to tell you the truth. You look like a bag of crap. You need to take days off. And I was like, you're running yourself too thin again. She's like, yeah, I will, though. I'm like, no, I will. You are taking time off. I'm like, because you can't be looking like that. You're looking old, lady. You're looking old. And then the next time I saw her, she looked better because she took some time off. Well, I mean,
you think about it. They overwork. They get exhausted. Exhaustion leads into depression and your mental health. And if left alone, depression leads to unaliving yourself.
Exactly. Like, it leads to stupid mistakes being made at that point in time. Like, we've all done it where we've run ourselves down horribly. And then sometimes you pay the ultimate price. Sometimes you pay a near ultimate price where we've all done it where you've driven where you know you shouldn't have been driving because you were too tired. But hey, you had to get home from work. You know what? Fuck your pride. Ask your friend if you can crash on their couch and take a half hour nap or something.
Yeah.
Just go and do something that's going to save your life and your friend's life and others on the road. Because it's not worth it. It's not worth running yourself down and putting lives at risk because you've been working too much. And you know what? It's not worth it to go work so much that you have money, but you have no life.
So I have a male friend that lives out of town, lives around Jew Taylor. And was on midnight shift. Ooh. And had a rough shift and was just physically and mentally exhausted.
Uh-huh.
And was driving home and recognized that they were falling asleep behind the wheel.
Yep.
Pulled into the parking lot of an arena, called his wife and his mom, and said, "Listen, this is where I am. I'm just gonna have a half an hour nap. I don't want to die on the way home."
Uh-huh.
Simple as that. And he did it. And I mean, he's still in the land of the living today because he did that.
Uh-huh.
But smart on him to recognize that he couldn't do it.
Yep. And it takes a lot to admit that, especially, and again, in a man's perspective, it's like they're trying to admit a weakness at that point. It's like, no, it's not a weakness. Everyone needs to sleep.
You're tired.
There needs to be, like, you know, we've all read that book from childhood. Everyone poops. Well, guess what? Everyone sleeps. That's what they need to make. Someone needs to make a book that says everyone needs sleep. Everyone has trauma. Everyone has anxiety. Everyone has depression. And explain it in the different levels. And that it's not just, you're not alone. You have people you can rely on. And then at the back of the book should be like a list of all of the numbers that you can call. And like maybe like some suggestions of support groups that might be in areas of it. And it should differ depending on where it's being released. That back page should be replaced with something else, like our area, Windsor versus Toronto. There should be a book like that. Yeah. Fuck the yellow pages. We need that.
Well, you know, my little community here, LaSalle, has a club, but it's for teenagers. So, and it's free. Anybody can join as long as you're between their age stipulations. Like, not going to have a 45-year-old person go in there and say, "Hey, I need help with my math homework." but yeah, it's this club, and they have an area in a building where you can go in. You can call the LaSalle Hangout. You can hang out, have a snack, have a drink, hang out with your friends. If you are having trouble in a subject at school, there's somebody there that will help you do your homework, talk to you if you're having issues. Every fucking community should have a group like that.
That's awesome.
And it should be a hangout for kids, a group for adults.
That would be awesome. I would go to that. Like, they should do it like that, where, like you said, have like the age brackets kind of idea. Where it's
My son went a couple times to talk to somebody about his anxiety and his depression. And that was when he was at Maryvale, and he was seeing a psychiatrist. He was on medication, but it was still having somebody within his peer group who understood what he was going through. Like, it's one thing for a 45-year-old woman who has a degree on the wall to say, "I know how you feel, son," to a 16-year-old. No, you don't. Uh-huh. No woman knows how a 16-year-old male feels.
Uh-huh.
So when, and it was my mom that found this group, and before they got their office space, for lack of a better term, they met at a church. And she had told my son about it, and he, like I said, he went a couple times, and it was having somebody within his age group, his peer group, who could relate to how he was feeling, his emotional state. Like, good God, that's the kind of shit I'd love to know my tax dollars support.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So much yes.
Because they're all community funded. They don't charge the kids not a dime to go there. Whoever runs it buys all the snacks and the drinks out of pocket. Like, it's not where the kids have, they got to pay a membership fee, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term. Well, you can go as often or as little as you want.
It's a great way to get, because that takes out the pay disparity? I can't remember how to pronounce the word now. But the pay difference, because it doesn't matter if you're poor, if you're middle class, if you're rich, you can all go to it because, you know, kids have issues no matter what.
Yeah.
So it takes that right out of there where you're like, okay, well, we can all hang out together at this place, and you can go there, especially when you're kids and you don't have endless amounts of money. And we all wanted, like, we were all there. We all wanted to go out and hang out places that didn't include our parents. But yeah, if you didn't have money, this is true, but now you have money. Back then you had none.
Back then I still have none.
That's why you just hang out at home. Where are you going? Well, I'm going from the living room to the kitchen today. It's an upgrade.
At least she leaves the house.
I hate when people, like, I come back to work after the weekend, like, say on Monday, we go back to work, and people are like, how was your weekend? Like, really, what do you think I did? Like, I have no kids. I'm single. I'm poor. I did nothing, people. I did nothing.
Well, that's when you look at them and say, what the fuck do you think I did?
Like, nothing.
You know my situation.
Nothing exciting happened in my life on the weekend. Because if it did, I'd be like shouting it from the roof.
I can see Peanut. He goes into work on Monday. So what'd you do on the weekend? I won the fucking lottery. That's why I'm here.
Yeah. I was just saying, meanwhile, I'm thinking to myself, what'd you do this weekend? I found a dead body.
Yeah, I had a dead body in the freezer.
I was thinking that I'd be like, I'd walk in and I'd be like, what'd you do? I had sex.
Yeah, I would say none of us would believe you'd be like, yeah, sure, prove it.
I got my bell ring.
Yeah. Pictures are, it didn't happen. Where's the guy? Let's see it. Self-sex doesn't count.
I de-virgined again.
By the way, Crispy, I fucking hate that phrase. What? Pictures or it didn't happen. No, honestly, because you know why?
Because it was overused?
Overused for people that did good deeds.
Oh my god, yes.
So, like, you go to work and your friends say, what'd you do before work? You're on afternoons. Yeah. Oh, I went out for lunch with so-and-so, and, you know, I saw an elderly gentleman sitting by himself. So, you know, I paid for his lunch, kind of like hoping it made him smile for the rest of the day. To fucking have somebody look at you and say, pictures or it didn't happen. The fuck? You think I went over to that old man who's like, smile for social media because I paid for your lunch? Ooh, that bothers me.
See, I would say, and for my friend group, when it was big, when that phrase was being used all the time, had nothing to do with that. It was always, oh, I'm going to go take a shower. Pictures or it didn't happen. That was all that we used it for.
I don't think my group of friends have ever used that.
I want to say it was big.
I think it's about 7 years ago. Die out with,
yeah,
it's pleasant.
Now I just want to send you pics or it didn't happen. I went upstairs, pics.
Well, it's like LaSalle has a community page on Facebook. Mm. I fucking can't stand. Like, it honestly, I don't know what's wrong with me, but it just pisses me off to no fucking end. When I see a member post, oh, the car in front of me paid for my coffee at Tim Hortons. Well, did you fucking, like, pay back and pay for the car behind you? No, you don't mention that. You just mention that somebody paid for your coffee.
Yeah, you know what? I have noticed that. Never really took note of it before until you just said, I'm like, hey, you make a good point.
Or it's the opposite way, and they go on to, and they brag.
Yes.
Just went through the McDonald's drive-thru and paid for the family behind me. $58 in food. Yeah, it's McDonald's, fucker. That's 4 Happy Meals.
Like, yeah, that's the sad part.
Don't tell the world you did a good deed. Do a good deed and know within yourself that you're a good person. You don't need validation from society to do a good deed.
Not that the people know that.
Well, they know it now.
Well, I was just gonna say, yeah, now people are gonna be like, are we not supposed to announce it to the world that we're doing good deeds? No, you're not. The whole point of a good deed, and it drives me up a wall too, just like you, it's like the whole point is that no one needs to know. No one's supposed to know. It's just supposed to be, hey, you did a good thing, and you know. You know, and the person in front of you or whatever knows. That's it. They don't even have to know your name. You know what? I just thought of something. It was yesterday while I was driving into work. I heard it on the radio. There was this, I don't want to say reporter, DJ, who was talking about, apparently it's a news story, I guess, over in the States. I think it was the States. Where a guy left his wallet accidentally behind on the transit train thingy. And I think it was the conductor found it. And drove a whole hour away from where he lived to bring the wallet back to the guy and just dropped it off in his mailbox because the guy wasn't home, then went home and left it as it was. And then the owner of the wallet ended up finding, like, saw the recording. They had one of those doorbell Ring camera doorbells. Things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So saw him. And did some hunting around, found out who it was, and went and met him and was like, oh, thank you. But it's all over social media and everything like that. And they're like, oh, my God, in this day and age, for someone to drive all the way an hour out of their way to drop off a wallet, and it was on New Year's Eve, and it was his birthday, and he still went out of his way. It's like, people, this shouldn't, number one. Shouldn't be being blasted all over the fucking internet and media and all that. It's like, Jesus Christ. Number two, it was only an hour. 1 hour is not that long of a drive. People do that. I have friends, one of my best friends, literally will drive 2 hours out of their way, leave their home, drive 2 hours just to go get the good burgers at somewhere that they like.
Okay, so I do that for Mr. Subs. I will drive to Chatham, which is about an hour away, to get a pizza sub from Mr. Sub.
Exactly. So it's like, and yet you don't see people talking about that. I mean, like, oh my God, this lady drove all the way from LaSalle.
So there's a Mr. Sub in London that's just off of Commissioners and Highbury.
Oh, yep.
And when Brendan was going to London to take for testing, we always went to that Mr. Sub to get pizza subs to take home. And when I say take home, I'm like 4 to 5, and then one that we ate there. So it's a couple months in between the testing, so it's not like we're frequent visitors. I mean, the one in Chatham, yes. The one in London, not so much. But it was so funny because the next time that we went, the guy remembered me. He's like, oh, it's Mrs. LaSalle. Like, oh, my God.
When they know where you come from and you're like, oh. I still want the subs, but please don't look at me.
But it was so funny because that the time before we were having a conversation while he was making the subs, and I was telling him, like, you know, I live technically in the Windsor area and we don't have Mr. Sub there anymore. I go, and your pizza subs are like literally the best in the world. And he was laughing. So he asked where I lived. I said, I live in LaSalle. And just a nice man, and we had the conversation the next time we went. And he was, his wife was behind the counter, and he was in the back room, and he must have heard me ordering like this obscene amount of pizza subs. He comes out, he's like, "Oh, it's Mrs. LaSalle." I don't know if Brendan was humiliated or just in awe that.
Yeah, as he's just standing there, he's like, "What the fuck?"
But yeah, that made my day. Absolutely made my day. But yeah,
that would have made mine too.
An hour drive is nothing anymore.
Well, and just the way that they kept on going on about it, it's just like, oh my god. And saying like, yeah, you know, it was so sweet, and it's so great that he did that, and all that things. Like, we shouldn't be celebrating things like that to that extent. Like, yes, I'm glad that he did it. I'm proud that he did it. But at the same time, I still have that thought of, it shouldn't be uncommon that people do that. It should be commonplace that, hey, if someone loses their wallet, they have all their ID in it. You flip it open, you see what their address is. I know lots of people who have mailed it to them. Yeah. Who have, if they live close enough, then they'll drive it to them. If they've, like, there was someone, I'm trying to remember what it was, someone I know recently lost their wallet, but it was while they were on vacation. So, like, they lost it in Toronto, but they lived in Alberta or something like that. And the person found it, saw their address, and was like, oh, like, added a letter. Sorry, I would have driven it to you, but I saw that you're not from Ontario, so I hope you don't mind, but I mailed it to you. And sent it to them. And just mailed it back to them. Didn't have to tell everyone. Not everyone knew that. It's like, oh, hey, look at me. I mailed that back to its proper owner.
Yeah.
What you fucking should do. You either give it back to the owner or give it to the cops. One way, yeah, or the,
exactly,
other.
Exactly. It's, in my opinion, it's too much that society is looking for the pat on the back for doing something good. Mm-hmm. Like, Jesus Christ, how were you raised?
Yes.
If you don't do something good just because. Like, how were you raised? Like, I was taught, if you're on the bus sitting and an elderly person gets on the bus, you give up your seat and you stand. Yes. You're 15, they're 80.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go on social media and tell everybody that you did that, though.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
There doesn't need to be proof of everything. Like, I think that's the thing that's happened with this, the newer generations and the newer technology. I think it's the other thing is that having phones where, oh, it's like, okay, well, look, a built-in camera. I should record myself doing it, being like, hey, guys. Look at me, I'm sitting here with Nana. She just got on the train, and did I give you my seat? And this little old lady's just sitting there going, yeah.
Videos that are posted of somebody getting the absolute snot whooped out of their ass.
Oh my god, I get so mad at that.
And everybody's standing around watching it.
Yep.
No. Stop the fucking fight, you moron. Don't film it. Again, like, I weep for the newer generations.
Well, it's like the...
These are the people that are going to be running our world soon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's like the kids, like, oh, I get so fucking mad at this. The kids who watch another kid getting bullied and proceeding to get beaten up. Because they're different or something, and all of them whip out their phones and just videotape it all, then post it all over social media, come home and show their parents, and then the parents then have to take the next step of being like, oh my god, we should probably contact the police or something. Or they don't, and the police find it on social media, and then they're all surprised when they're like, oh, well, my kid wasn't part of it. Teach your kids to call the fucking cops. If a fight breaks out, and... preferably, unless you're big enough and you know you can separate the two and not get hurt, don't get involved. Call for an adult. Call the cops and say, hey, there's a fight. Someone's getting beaten up. They're probably going to need an ambulance. They're definitely going to need the cops. Do something to stop it. Don't just sit there and videotape it and be like, oh, well, look, I saw this entire thing.
Yeah, it's like so easy to dial 911.
Exactly.
Like, we're not even asking you to go the full eight digits or 9, 10, 11 with area code. 911.
Yep.
Help the people. Don't tape it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not winning the next Pulitzer Prize because you filmed some kid getting his ass whooped. Or, you know, your picture's not going to be in National Geographic's photo of the year.
Exactly.
Of little Tommy with his leg in shapes and sizes that it shouldn't be in.
Exactly. And you're like, oh, look at how artsy this is. No, that's a crime.
Yeah.
Like, that's assault and battery. That's not okay.
Yeah. It's the whole... Like I, you're right. It's the whole technology age, right? We didn't. So when I was a child, when I was like a child, I didn't have cell phone, internet, computer. Like, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, I had an Atari 2600. There wasn't this huge riff in between classes of children,
mm-hmm.
races of children.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we'd be in a schoolyard on a Friday afternoon and be like, okay, everybody meet at Med Hospital at the ramp. We'll play hide and go seek. And whoever showed up got to play. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because it was the neighborhood. It was everybody in the neighborhood. It didn't matter if little Katie over there lived in one of the biggest houses in Walkerville, and I lived above a restaurant.
Uh-huh.
You know?
You're just having fun.
Now it's just, look at the iPhone 48 I just got. It's, you know, it's got a built-in lens. I can see the man on the moon waving at me. Yeah. You're 11.
Yeah, you don't need it. Let's be honest. You don't need it. There's no reason for you to have that. If you need a little burner phone to call your parents, I guess maybe, but even then, you shouldn't need a phone.
You know, I love those posts out on social media around the holidays where they say if you buy your child a computer or an iPad or a cell phone, don't make it from Santa. Make it a gift from you. Because then the kid whose family can't afford those doesn't say to his parent, well, why didn't Santa like me as much as they like them? Yep. I love those posts because that is so very true.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a good way to do it where you're like, okay, take credit for the big gifts. Like, even that's how my parents did it when I was growing up. They're like, okay, the big gifts from mommy and daddy. The little gifts that like anyone could have, Santa dropped those off because the elves make the same thing for everyone roughly. Made sense. And when you're a kid, it makes sense.
Yeah, for us, Santa filled your stocking. And again, as a child in the 70s, in my stocking, I got nuts, an orange, little wrapped candies, maybe a dinky car. I didn't like dolls, so maybe a dinky car.
I got the dinky cars too.
So, you know, now kids open their stockings, they've got little gadgets that cost like hundreds of dollars.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, that's not a stocking. That's not a stocking gift.
That is called a real present. That is not a stocking stuffer.
Santa is not rich people. Don't be putting them off as a millionaire.
Yeah. Santa's got elves, for fuck's sakes. Like, he's got elves and reindeer. He doesn't even have, like, he's got no Wi-Fi. He's got no Bluetooth. He still takes letters. He doesn't take emails. Let's be honest. Like, he's sitting there going, oh, well, one day a year, I'm not old, decrepit, I guess.
Oh. Anywho, we've been chatting for an hour and a half, so we should probably take a break.
I think our random topics have now come to a close.
As always, we had a wonderful time.
Yes.
Chatting with you all. We'll leave you. And we will see you, or we'll talk to you all again in February.
Oh my God. Shit, I hadn't even realized that. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So we, again, Taylor's going to give you the particulars on our social medias, and we'll say goodbye. So go ahead, Taylor.
So you can find our episodes posted on Dana's Twitter, X, formerly known as Twitter, under the handle Scooby71, SKOOBI71. You can find it also posted on her TikTok under Scooby, SKOOBI. You can find it posted on my personal, what's that thing called? Instagram, under GoddessTayTay25. The episodes are also posted every week on our Facebook page under Depressed Breakfast Club. And we'd love for you to like us and follow us. And our email address is depressedbreakfastclub@gmail.com, all lowercase. If you have any episode ideas or you just want to, even if you just want to say, hey, just reach out to us. We love it. And I think I got all of them. But something that we haven't done in a few weeks, what's something that we're happy for or happy for ourselves?
I'm not going to say I'm happy for me. I'm going to use this and say I'm happy for my husband.
Yes.
So his mom passed away. It'll be 2 years in April of this year. And a couple months after she passed away, my husband's an only child. He sold her house. And for whatever reasons, it went into probate. And it was just a debacle. Like, I don't even have words for it. It was just an absolute stress-filled fucking debacle. On Tuesday, case closed. He got his transfer from the credit union in Sault Ste. Marie. His mom's estate is closed. So now there'll be no more letters in the estate of, or to the estate of, which wasn't helping my husband move on, get mail for his mom. So that's what I'm happy for.
I think that's a damn good thing to be happy for, especially knowing how stressful it was for both of you and for him not being able to grieve until now. So now he'll properly be able to grieve and let things go.
Yeah, now he can process stuff now.
Yeah. And what about you, Peanut?
I don't know. You always ask me. I never have anything.
Ozempic.
Don't get it. Yeah, that'd be a good one.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I'm happy that for now that Ozempic is back in stock. I feel like a drug addict jonesing for my drug. But yes, because my sugars, I'm diabetic and my sugars were very out of whack because of the shortage of Ozempic. So, yes, I'm happy that I got some.
Good.
Yeah, I think that's about it.
Okay.
It's been a trying week.
And you know what? It will be until your body gets used to it again, and then hopefully things level out and...
Yeah.
And you... You are you again, not, you know, vomiting and all the fun stuff that went with it.
Yeah, not all the fun, joyous stuff that you've gotten to experience with getting it again. For me, I'm happy for my books.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I've literally surrounded myself in bed with books. Oh, you know what? I'm going to say two things that I'm happy for. I'm happy for my books. And I'm happy for my friend, and I'm giving her a shout out. So when she listens to this, ha ha, I gave you a shout out. My friend Sonia, who is helping me along with the, I'll call it for right now, a novel project that I'm working on that will end up, if I am going with today's conversation, if I have the balls for it, I will.
You do.
We'll see when I get there, if they suddenly shrivel and go, ah! To actually get the work published, because she has been kind enough. We were doing word prompts about a year ago in her Discord server. So we were kind of like challenging ourselves, doing little 7-word prompts. I'm like, okay, I've decided I need more space. I need more words. Can we do a second area where it's the same word prompts? And I'll even use that sentence that I used for the 7-word prompt. And then I'll make like tiny little story segments. And she was like, oh, that sounds cool. Here you go. Whipped it up for me. And then because we all get distracted in life, we did a few. And then all of a sudden there was, she would put up the word and none of us would respond. She put up the word and none of us would respond. So she had a bunch of them, including herself. She also would not respond to it. And then suddenly you'd see us go, oh, yeah, I forgot about this. We'd put one, then not respond, put one. So I've taken that, and she actually sent me all of the prompts. Not only did she send it to me, she put it into my document for me and did the followed the layout that I was doing. So she went through, underlined it, bolded it, and got it all ready. She's like, there you go. There's all of it ready for you. So I was
she's your editor.
She is. She's 100%. I trust her. She is honestly one of my best friends in the world. Like, I would never replace her in a million years. Like, I have my bestie who lives over in Montana. I have her. I have a couple others that I rely on. And she's one of those ones, we share our writing back and forth, where she's like, okay, what do you think of this? And I'll tell her, and she's like, okay, this is what I thought about yours. Hey, did you notice that you kind of missed on this, or you switched on that? And it was like, okay, she gave me the word prompt. So I'm very appreciative of her being my little editor, and giving me the word prompts and helping me with this, because I have no doubt that I'll be like, okay, here, edit this. Are there spelling mistakes? Did I fuck up? Did I forget things? Did I mix up names? Did I have issues with it? And then there's a girl at work who randomly, the one day she came up to me and we were talking about something, and somehow we got onto the topic of her husband, and apparently he used to write poetry, and she actually typed it all up for him because she found his old poems. And she was like, you were really good at this, honey. Like, why didn't you ever get them published? And she's like, you know, I got them. I just didn't know how to do the publishing, and, you know, they need editing and all this stuff. So she's like, I'll do it. He looked at her and went, seriously? He's like, yeah, I'll type them all up. You read them to me. I'll type them up. I'll edit them as we go along. And we'll publish them. If I remember correctly, she said that she published through Amazon. So nice. She got her husband's book of poems published on Amazon. Nice. So I was like, that's fucking awesome. So when I get to that stage, I will pick her brain and be like, oh, help. So that's what I'm grateful for today. Basically, it's all book related.
Mama needs to write a book.
We have told her that. You know how many people have told her that in her life? It's like, okay, you need to sit down and you need to start writing the books.
Yeah.
Let's go. Chapter one.
Put the words on the paper. Put the words on the paper, woman.
And she was going to school to be a journalist. She was going to be a writer. So why not fucking do it? That's my 2 cents on that.
All right.
Ciao, everyone.
So on that note, we bid you all a fond farewell. Thank you for joining us again this week. Please share with your friends. We would love to have more listeners. So please share with your friends. Tell them about us. Spread the word. Share us on social media. And we thank you all. So have a wonderful week ahead. Ciao for now.
Ciao.